From North State Public Radio, I'm Serena Grossi with your headlines for Tuesday, June 10th. Some Chico businesses have seen their sewer bills spike a lot in recent years, and it's not because of how much water they use. The increase is due to a new flat rate the city charges based on how dirty the water is when it goes down the drain. And for some businesses, that change has hit hard. Jeff and Lisa Hill own Hula's Chinese Barbecue in Chico. The original owners had planned to close it due to the pandemic, but the Hills said they couldn't let a restaurant they loved leave the city, so they bought it in 2021 using their retirement savings. Running the restaurant went smoothly for the first year or so, but by the summer of 2023, their small sewer bill started rising. It's now more than $700 a month.
Immediately, your first thought is, oh, this is just wrong. They got just something, you know, wrong. You know, we knew we didn't have a leak.
The bill wasn't wrong, according to the city. Chico had just started a new fee structure for sewer bills. The Hills tried to make up the difference by raising menu prices and by saving water. But Jeff says that hasn't helped much. He says the high sewer bills have made it challenging to stay afloat.
If the Hula's operated like it did before we took it over, it would already be out of business.
For sure.
100%.
But in Chico, sewer bills aren't just based on how much water a business uses. It's also about how hard that wastewater is to clean. Chico's sewer system is made up of about 300 miles of pipes running below the city. Those pipes carry wastewater from homes and businesses back to the city's treatment plant. This is where all sewer water gets processed, and it has to be because once it's treated, it flows into the Sacramento River. It takes several steps that start when the water first reaches the treatment plant, looking and smelling awful. It's completely brown with a visible layer of oil floating on top. The process begins by removing things that shouldn't be in the water, like wipes, grease, and other debris. Then solids are filtered out, and bacteria and oxygen break down pollutants. As it moves through each step, the water gets clearer. By the end, it looks like regular tap water.
This is the final product.
Finally, it's disinfected before being released into the river. This treatment process plays a big role in how Chico calculated its sewer bill. Businesses don't just pay for how much water they use. They also pay a flat rate to help cover the costs of cleaning the water. The flat rate used to be $23 a month across the board. Now it varies depending on the type of business, and how it's calculated is tied directly to how much strain a business's sewer water puts on the system. The city uses a metric called an equivalent dwelling unit, or EDU. It looks at how much wastewater a business creates, how dirty the water is, and how difficult it is to treat.
How hard is it to get it from its current state to that final finished product?
That's David Keene with the Public Works Department. He says the more junk in the wastewater, the more time and money it takes to treat it.
Those suspended solids that don't go out are harder to treat. And those are floatables, like grease and things like that come from commercial uses.
The more stuff in a business's wastewater, the more equivalent dwelling units they're assigned. The city adopted a new rate structure back in 2023. Eric Gustafson is the director of Public Works. He says the main reason for the change is simple. The city needs more money. Energy and chemical prices have increased, and he says a lot of equipment at the treatment plant is aging and needs to be replaced.
The infrastructure has just simply worn out. You know, its life cycle has expired, whether it's 20, 25 years.
That kind of overhaul doesn't come cheap. Gustafson says the city is doing what it can to cut operational costs, but more funding is needed. That's where the new bills come in. Despite the rise of costs for some businesses, Gustafson says the new system is more equitable. Everyone pays about $28 per EDU. But the number of EDUs varies depending on what kind of wastewater businesses usually produce. Take Hula's, for example. They're in the restaurant category. On average, they're assigned about 11 EDUs. But due to the strength of their wastewater, the city has assigned Hula's 26 EDUs. That comes out to $728 per month for sewer services. By contrast, a mortuary is assigned on average just 3 EDUs, a cost of $84 per month. Gustafson says the new system is designed to make sure businesses that produce cleaner water aren't footing the bill for those putting tougher stuff down the drain.
You could imagine, you know, a hospital or an industrial laundry facility discharges a lot stronger wastewater than a dorm, which is just basically laundry and showers, that type of thing.
But the Hills don't feel the system is equitable. They say the price they're paying is too much and making it hard to keep their business open.
We are willing to pay our fair share. But when your fair share, you know, takes your bill and times it by 1,000 and then forces your hand at your business, that's not fair.
The Hills say they've talked at length with the city, but haven't seen much change in their bill. The city conducted an audit and made some small adjustments to reflect their water-saving efforts, but the Hills say it's not enough. They told NSPR they plan to seek legal counsel and are considering a lawsuit against the city of Chico, arguing the rate change is forcing businesses to close. The city is aware of the potential lawsuit. In the meantime, the Hills have taken to social media and spoken at city council meetings about their experience. They're encouraging other businesses facing similar challenges to also speak out. In Chico, I'm Serena Grossi. In other news, dozens of demonstrators gathered in Chico yesterday to protest the Trump administration's deployment of the National Guard in Southern California over the weekend. Residents spoke out against recent raids conducted by federal immigration officers in Los Angeles and emphasized their right to peacefully protest. Jenny Rodriguez joined the demonstrators with co-workers.
I'm here. It's my lunch break right now. So I told my boss. My boss is like, go for it. Get an hour lunch. Like, do your thing.
Rodriguez, whose parents are immigrants, says seeing the number of protesters there was an inspiring experience.
Being out here feels really cool because I didn't really know that it was this, like, this big here. So I don't know. It's making me feel really happy as, like, a Mexican person to know that these people believe that I belong here.
The action took place on the corner of Mangrove and Vallambrosa Avenues. The pop-up protest was a last-minute effort organized on Sunday by a local group of activists called ReSisters. And Butte County is celebrating the community's efforts to make homes more fire-resistant. The county says more than 1,000 properties have passed voluntary fire-safe inspections over the last 4 years. The inspections focus on removing flammable materials such as weeds, foliage, and debris from around the outside perimeter of a house. Creating defensible space significantly reduces fire risks around your home. Inspections are available year-round. Residents can request one at BeReadyButte.com. Also, seniors and people with disabilities are vulnerable to wildfires. 80% of the people who died during the campfire were over the age of 65. And nearly a fifth of Paradise's population from 2019 to 2023 had a disability. Wendy Longwell is with the Disability Action Center, which serves multiple North State counties. She's also the mother of a son with a disability. She says it's important to make a plan with other people in your circle.
I have neighbors that know what my schedule is, and so if it's during the day, they go over and check on him if there's any issues up there so that he has somebody that can get him out of there if need be.
She says if neighbors don't know someone has a disability or can't evacuate by themselves, the person might not be able to leave safely.
When I was a kid, I knew all my neighbors. And now people can live next 10 years and not know their close neighbors that could help.
Longwell says it might also be a good idea to buy stickers or markers for a home that signals that a person with a disability lives there. It can be helpful for neighbors and emergency personnel. And those are your headlines for Tuesday, June 10th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, check out our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Serena Grossi.